You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's 6:31. You're tuned into the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Moyaha, and we're taking a look at the latest calls by South African politicians, amongst others, to implement a sin tax of sorts on gambling in an effort to reduce the number of people that are gambling, or perhaps to provide more education around the gambling space. I'm joined on the line by Project Director for Tax Advocacy at the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, Lesedi Seforo, to take a look at this and see if we can make sense of it. Lesedi, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding the current tax legislation around gambling. What does the legislation say for those that gamble, as well as for those that provide the services such as casinos?
Thanks, Jimmy, and glad to be here. And thanks for the listeners for listening. No, thanks. Typically, the law currently is if you're an occasional gambler, you will not be taxed on your winnings. In tax law, it's referred to what is known as it's of a capital nature. However, if you're more of a professional gambler and you do it more full-time, or at least even if you're not full-time, but you sort of make a business out of it, you do it with a sufficient level of regularity and frequency. If you are such a person, you will be taxed on your winnings. Now, granted, you can deduct against those winnings, you can deduct your gambling losses, but you will be treated like basically a person who earns a salary, and you will be taxed as an individual according to your tax tables. With regards to the companies providing such gambling activities, they are usually regulated by a provincial regulator, for instance, the Western Cape, or Mpumalanga and those sorts of things. So the tax is collected at the provincial level. So that's what happens there.
No doubt we've seen an uptick in the amount of people that have taken up gambling. I mean, I looked at the recent stats around the revenues generated, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, this year in particular was probably the biggest year for revenues generated by companies. We got we crossed over the, what was it, a trillion rand of wagered funds over the last year. And obviously, yes, this is something of serious concern. Gambling revenues have increased by 25% for some of these companies. But that being said, looking at all of that, where do we kind of sit on the taxation side of it? Because the call here to tax the individuals, there is already some form of prescribed tax that is in place. Is it fair to say that one party, being either the gambler or the casino providing the service, should be taxed more than another party? What's the argument here?
I suppose the best way, as you said earlier, is sin tax. So the tax would be on the gambler themselves, because they're the person who government will attempt to dissuade from such activities. And no doubt, a number of pathologies come when a society gambles too much. That's well known. You will recall a few years ago that we had that sugar tax to address similar things, where consumption of large amounts of sugar, so government instituted that tax, and then all of a sudden you started seeing, you know, Coke Zero, Sprite Zero, and all sorts of things like that where sugar wasn't used. So a similar thing could be used to tax consumers. However, whether that will work or not, it all depends on what they call price elasticity, where there are certain products, for instance, that no matter how much you increase the price, the consumption or the purchasing of that product by consumers doesn't seem to change. So hopefully that won't apply to gambling, because I do agree with you that it's a lot. It's increased massively, and it's not for the good of society that happens.
I like that you bring up the economics lecture, price elasticity. And I think about that in the context of the sin taxes, right? Let's look at the sin taxes. We've increased sin taxes on cigarettes. We've banned the advertising of cigarettes. We've got sin taxes on alcohol. That still hasn't deterred anyone from partaking in those things. And so the question then becomes, would having a tax solve the problem, or do you need to address something fundamentally different? Because when you look at this phenomenon, there are countries where gambling exists. There are places like Las Vegas, like Macau, that are known specifically for their gambling. At the same time, they don't have high tax rates and all of those things put in place there. And that's because in other countries, in other areas, you've got higher employment. The gambling tax that, or the gambling phenomenon we're seeing in South Africa is because we've got a high unemployment rate, but also you've got, on the other side, companies creating things like online betting platforms and all of that. And all these companies are going to obviously argue they're not forcing anybody to partake in these things, right? So, so how do you then approach the situation and strike that balance and say, we understand that we need to address this from a societal point of view. Is taxing it really going to solve the problem?
Well, I suppose that it would be one of one in a range of various regulatory measures to attempt to curb it. Like, for instance, with tobacco, you've got, you know, the companies are mandated on every box of cigarettes to put a warning label there. Or, you know, so you could have something similar where a person, perhaps when they enter a casino or such a website of a betting company, that there's, you've got a big sign there that the company is compelled in terms of the law to put there, to just remind people again that this is the kind of activity that you want to stop after a certain point of betting. So that's how I see it there. In other countries, for instance, you mentioned Las Vegas, the United States does tax gambling. Unlike here. So perhaps we should look at that first, where never mind the syntax on the winnings themselves in South Africa. Perhaps everybody should pay tax on that. But like I said, we need other regulatory measures in addition to the syntax to address this problem.
One of the measures that's being proposed by those that are advocating for this is to say that we should restrict things like advertising. We should get legislation to speak to itself. We should educate the public more around the dangers of these activities. How do we then look at the responsibility from that perspective? Does that responsibility, or should that responsibility then fall on these companies? I mean, I'm looking at a company like Betway that now is sponsoring cricket, is sponsoring the local league in South Africa. Those companies offer the services. Are we now going to say that those companies can't operate in South Africa, or then place a greater onus and say, because you are so actively advertising your services, we require you to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
That's exactly it. And I mean, without government intervention, no business is going to dissuade potential customers from using its product or services. So I think definitely we've seen it with tobacco, where many years ago it was a lot more prominent. But after major legislative overhauls, for instance, you hardly see anybody smoking, never mind indoors. So similar kinds of things would have to be done in this country to address that kind of thing. And you're right. Certainly, all these adverts are everywhere, and it seems like no matter what channel you switch to, they're all there. And we know, for instance, with tobacco, you don't see tobacco advertising, especially in primetime television. So that could be one of the periods of time in which these companies are not allowed to advertise.
Lots to consider, especially when we look at all of the other companies that are operating in the space and the implications this will have on everybody. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Lesedi. Thank you for those insights and for the time. Hopefully we do see some sort of issues or something being done to address these issues. But for now, we'll leave the conversation there. Lesedi Seforo, a project director for tax advocacy at the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.